Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we've got some updates on vehicles from Giga Berlin. Also got a new analyst note from Alex Potter of Piper Sandler, news on Tesla Solar Roof, Tesla Safety Score, and a couple interesting updates from Toyota and Ford. Looking at the markets, well, not a whole lot to say. Tesla today closing down 3.4% to $995.65, falling below $1,000 per share closing price for the first time this year, while the Nasdaq today fell another 1.2%. We're now 1 week out from Tesla's Q4 earnings report, so at least with the market going like this, we've got something to look forward to. I don't know if that's going to change any trajectories, but we've also got the Fed meeting that day too, so interesting week coming up. But as usual, I would just stay focused on the long term, which is still looking great as I tweeted out this morning. I think there's a pretty good chance that at these current share prices below $1,000, Tesla's forward price-to-earnings ratio on a GAAP basis is probably going to end up having been below 75 times if we look at it in hindsight at this point next year. Now, that's not what the analyst estimates are going to show you right now, but I think those are probably low. I think we're going to beat those estimates this year. And a 75 multiple for a company like Tesla with the growth rate that Tesla has and the remaining total addressable market that they have is really not the right multiple for it to be trading at. Doesn't mean it can't happen. The market can be really, really, really dumb sometimes. Look at 2019, for example, when Tesla's forward price to sales ratio was 3 times, which was the stupidest thing ever. But something that I don't think should happen, and if it does, another great opportunity. All right, getting into the Tesla news then, we've got some pretty exciting updates here on Giga Berlin, and I know we have seen some vehicles sitting outside of the factory, but we're now seeing some of those vehicles actually sitting outside of the country. We've actually got a couple of separate reports today from people on Twitter that have spotted made in Germany, Berlin-made performance model-wise, in Norway. So the first one here, you can see the license plate. Apparently you can look up VIN or vehicle identification number from the license plate there in Norway. And even just looking from those first three characters, you can already tell there is a difference here. It says XP7 from Fremont, that would be 5YJ, and from Shanghai, it would be LRW. Those first three characters indicate manufacturer and factory. So we know this is different. And if we look at the 11th character, that's a B, that would be for Berlin. The 12th character, also interesting here, being R, that represents release candidate. So this particular vehicle is release candidate 161. We don't know where they started at, or if any were skipped, so that doesn't really tell us a whole lot. But then, as I mentioned, this was not the only VIN that was spotted in Norway. Somebody else on Twitter shared one, also in Norway, same indicators for Berlin in the VIN, and this was number 100. So I don't know, maybe I'm just a little bit weird on this, but I'm excited to see these vehicles outside of Germany testing out in other countries. Yes, they are just release candidate versions, which, if you're not familiar, it's basically what it sounds like, pre-production vehicles that are produced and judged as if they were going to be sold, but don't actually have the intent to be sold. I'm also not sure it tells us a whole lot on timelines either. Obviously, I think most of us assume that Tesla's ready to go with full production once they get final approval, so it probably doesn't really matter all that much, but just for a little bit of context, since I was kind of curious, Tesla did do a release candidate version of the Model 3 back in March 2017. That was about 4 months before start of production, so it can precede it pretty significantly, but that was a long time ago and very different circumstances, really just highlighting that to show that it doesn't necessarily mean that production is rolling or anything like that. The other part about this that I think is interesting is that now we can keep an eye out for any non-release candidate VINs now that we've seen these ones. I'd be curious if what Tesla has been seemingly producing and stacking up in those parking lots that we looked at a couple days ago, if those also carry the release candidate tag on the VIN. The other update that we've got out of Berlin is on that sort of nagging water supply issue. Remember, there's a pending lawsuit here from environmental groups that could potentially threaten the water supply that Tesla has access to. But again, this is a separate thing from final approval. They're not related, and Tesla actually currently has the water supply. This would just be a threat to change that. Anyway, today there's been some coverage of a statement made by Brandenburg's environment minister, Alex Vogel. He said, quote, "The state government does not see the drinking water supply of 170,000 people in the catchment area of WSE, Water Association Strasbourg, and the water supply of Tesla being at risk," end quote. So this has been getting some coverage, like I said, and I think some people interpreting this as some sort of closure on that issue or something. Really, it's not. I think the state has always had that viewpoint. I don't think that's really any different. Again, it's the environmental groups that are actually challenging the state. So I think nice to hear that statement, but also what would be expected. So in Vailt's report on this, they do say that, quote, "Ultimately, however, it depends on the application that is made in the oral hearing. It is scheduled for February 11th, end quote. I do think we've mentioned that date before, but sometimes kind of hard to keep track of this stuff, so a good reminder. All right, next we've got another analyst update, this time from Alex Potter, Piper Sandler, ahead of the Q4 earnings report. They say that, quote, "We are boosting our estimates to reflect better than expected Q4 deliveries, as well as a higher estimate for deliveries in 2022. We now expect 1.53 million units, up from 1.38 million previously," end quote. Potter does note that with two factories coming online, Tesla's capacity should exceed that. Quote, but China's zero COVID policy could threaten operations in Shanghai, so we're trying to keep a level head, end quote. With that higher delivery number for 2022, Piper Sandler has also increased their earnings expectations. Previously, they were expecting non-GAAP earnings of $9.91 per share. They've upped that now by about 25% or so to $12.14 for the year. Even with that increase, no change to the Piper Sandler price target, that still sits at $1,300. So kind of similar to what we had talked about yesterday with Credit Suisse. A little bit different here because Piper Sandler is using a discounted cash flow, 20-year discounted cash flow. So changing 1 year of estimates may not have the biggest increase on that 20-year DCF. Plus, they have bumped up their discount rate, which ends up having sort of a similar effect as putting in a lower multiple. They address this in the note saying, quote, in our weighted average cost of capital calculation, we base our risk-free assumption on 10-year treasury yields, which have been moving steadily higher. As a result, our 20-year cash flow forecast is now discounted at a weighted average cost of capital of 11.2%, up 20 basis points versus our previous update. This change offsets the impact of our higher estimates. We expect Tesla to provide a relatively thorough update on the Q4 call. We will update our model again after the call concludes, end quote. So even though we're not seeing a price target increase on this note, still the possibility for that after the call. A couple other things I want to highlight in the note. First, there is a little section in here talking about Tesla continuing its assault on vehicle markets worldwide, and they express a very similar point that we highlighted yesterday in the Credit Suisse note. Quote, investors often ask us whether demand for competing EVs might sap Tesla sales, but in our view, Tesla's market share is limited only by the company's own production capacity, and if 2022 goes as planned, capacity will soon get a big boost, end quote. So just like we talked about yesterday, reiteration of high confidence in high demand for Tesla, investors that maybe don't follow the company as closely as we do, continuing to have that message reinforced. Last thing from the note, they did include a couple of nice charts here. First, on the left, we've got electric vehicles as a percent of overall light vehicle sales. You can see that really spiking up in China and Europe, then the US actually lagging quite a bit behind. No fault of Tesla though, because then on the right, we can see that in terms of Tesla's overall vehicle market share, unsurprisingly highest in the United States. All right, next up, we've got some news on Tesla's solar roof. Tesla's solar Twitter account today noting that Tesla's added a new financing option for the solar roof, now offering 20-year financing on that loan. I think before it was at 10 years. This has changed a couple of times, but right now, 20-year financing at a 4% interest rate. So I went in the tool and put in just an average home, which according to Google would have a roof size, not square footage overall, but roof size of 1,700 square feet and around a $130 electric bill. And you can see that for that, Tesla recommended a 5.3 kilowatt system, with that roof then costing about $35,000 overall between the unpowered and powered portions. Then they also recommend one power wall for that setup. So $46,000 overall, 10% down payment, $12,000 estimated federal tax credit. And then that comes out to about $250 per month under this financing. And remember, that does include the power wall as well. I think when I went through this tool, this was for a new construction home. At least that's how I went through the estimator. But doing it even as a roof replacement, I got the same costs. Tesla does note that there may be some variability in price once they assess the roof, but I was kind of surprised to see even that estimate be the same. Next, we've just got a quick update on Tesla's safety score. Elon today replying to a series of tweets in which the original was asking if the safety score could be made available in Europe, even though FSD is not, or more specifically FSD beta. Tesla Club San Diego replying to that saying, I think everyone with basic autopilot should be able to see safety score, promote safe driving, and Elon replying to that tweet saying, okay. Might as well, I suppose. And yeah, maybe that will encourage some people to drive a little bit safer, and maybe that ends up saving an accident, so why not? Next, a couple of interesting updates from Toyota and Ford. We'll start with Toyota. They have announced that they will be reducing their global production plan for February by about 150,000 units globally. That puts their February production forecast at 700,000 units. They do say that, quote, current demand is very strong, therefore we were aiming for a high February production plan. However, due to the impact of the continuing demand for semiconductors across all industries, we have adjusted our production plan by around 150,000 units globally, end quote. This also caused them to drop their full year forecast. Their fiscal year ends on March 31st. Previously, they had expected 9 million units. They now expect to fall short of that with this lowered February production. As for their thoughts on the shortage going forward, kind of always interesting to hear what other automakers' thoughts are on that. They say that they will continue to examine the situation and consult with all companies involved in considering the use of substitutes where possible in anticipation of a continuing shortage. It'll be really interesting to hear Tesla's thoughts on the current environment on the Q4 earnings call. Hopefully they'll address that. With the production numbers we saw in Q4, definitely looked like things were improving. However, like we talked about with Giga Shanghai production for November, there definitely still seems to be those pockets of constraints. So curious to hear Tesla thoughts on that as well. All right, last item here then is an update from Ford as we've been kind of chatting about their earnings numbers over the last couple of weeks. Yesterday, they announced an update on certain special items for their earnings for 2021. They'll post those on February 3rd, but ahead of time, they wanted to give a warning that in the fourth quarter, they're going to recognize a gain of $8.2 billion from their investment in Rivian following Rivian's IPO. They say that that is a mark-to-market revaluation of their stake. So basically just a recognition of what the current value would be if they were to sell that stake. Now, I'm not 100% certain on the accounting, so maybe somebody can help me out with that. But I think this means that they're going to reflect that in their GAAP earnings, which means we're going to see Ford's price to earnings ratio drop from, you know, the 35x that it's at right now to probably below 10x when they report Q4 earnings, if that is the case. So just goes to know that there is oftentimes a lot of context that needs to be understood when looking at numbers like that. And that certainly is the case for Ford. They also say that going forward, they'll continue to do those mark-to-market revaluations, and that could result in gains or losses each quarter reported as special items. So I don't know what share price they're using for this round of mark-to-market, but with Rivian stock falling, they may have to show a pretty significant special item loss then for their first quarter. So it sounds like with this method, that's just going to kind of wreak havoc on Ford's earnings. Obviously, analysts will factor that out, but still kind of interesting to see. Okay, I think that does it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, January 20th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.